Good morning and welcome back to another edition of High Desert Dialogue, conversations with Regina and Roxanne, right here on Talk 960, brought to you by Providence St. Mary Medical Center. COVID-19 cases are rising in our High Desert. Make your appointment today to protect yourself, your family, and our community. Schedule your free appointment at a convenient location near you through myturn.ca.gov. Message brought to you by trusted friends in the High Desert, Providence St. Mary Medical Center, and the San Bernardino County Department of Public Health. We're keeping it local with High Desert issues, events, and interesting people. You can hear us every weekend, Saturdays at 9 a.m. and Sundays at 8 a.m. on Talk 960 and talk960.com. Let's get to it.
Well, we are getting ready for the 4th of July.
Already. Happy summer. Officially summer right now,
happy
Regina.
Happy summer. Good morning, High Desert. I hope it hasn't hit 100 already.
It has.
But the one thing we know, stay hydrated, right?
Mm-hmm. And do check on your pets and the elderly. And then I just want to give a reminder to our listeners. We do have community resources, cooling centers. Most of our local libraries serve as cooling centers. So please keep updated on our Facebook pages and community calendars for more.
That's great. Roxanne, thank you for that information. Well, you know what? We've got a special guest in studio today. I've had the privilege of knowing her for quite some time. She is what I call a local historian. She's a retired educator, and she is also the executive director of the Apple Valley Legacy Museum, which she's going to talk to us today about because, you know, as you're looking for things to do over the summer, this may be a destination point. So I want to welcome to the show Miss Marcy Taylor. Marcy, welcome to Conversations with Regina and Roxanne. It's good to see you.
Thank you. It's good to see you too, Regina and Roxanne.
Thank you.
Thank you. So Marcy, we're just going to jump in because I know you have a lot to talk about. You are just a walking history book when it comes to all things local here, High Desert. So how long has the Legacy Museum existed?
Well, I think you know because you were at our ribbon cutting. So we opened in March of 2015.
Wow. March of 2015. And for those who don't know where it's located, can you tell us exactly where it's located? And are there summer hours for the museum?
Yes. We are located in the old Apple Valley Inn that at one time was the Roy Rogers Apple Valley Inn. And it is on Highway 18 at Dale Evans. You just turn into the inn, go straight. When you're about to run into a mountain, look to your right, and we're right below what used to be the Hilltop House, Cottage 153, the Bob Hope Cottage.
Wow. Now tell us an interesting fact, Marcy, about the Legacy Museum and what people can expect to see or experience there.
Well, when the Roy Rogers Dale Evans Museum moved and other things were shutting down, there seemed to be kind of a lull. And so we opened it kind of on a whim. Mm. And there's a lot of Roy and Dale stuff in there, but also a lot of other local history things. And things just started appearing. People were very excited to donate stuff. So we have the history of the library, the fire department, the old dancing hooves, the powwows, just all kinds of local stuff. And we have maps. People can take the Roy and Dale driving tour. We have the Asperia driving tour, the Apple Valley driving tour.
Wow.
Depending upon how far you want to go, we have the tours that go up the Route 66 to Barstow, all the stops along the way, and a lot of brochures for other local museums.
That sounds like fun. I didn't realize about the driving tours, Roxanne. That sounds like a lot of fun.
Yeah, a lot
well,
of
Well, you guys need to come back over.
Yeah. I like it.
Maybe we should plan a girls' trip.
No, I forgot. We also have our monuments driving tour. Mojave Historical Site is placed, I believe it's 16 monuments, and we have a monuments driving tour and a Hesperia monuments driving tour. So there's no reason to be bored on the desert.
Right. And then also I think it's really important that we know our history, right?
That's right. And, you know, a lot of people that come over, new people, like they're new to the desert that don't know anything about Apple Valley, are very excited to learn. And then we get the older people that come from out of town or bring a relative that, oh, we honeymooned here at the inn. Or, you know, I used to be in the Dancing Hooves or, you know, any number of things. And we, the thing we get the most is, oh, I used to bowl with Roy. So, or I went to Church of the Valley with the, you know, so there's a lot of memories it brings back for longtime residents. People that have lived here and moved away really like coming back. And one of the most exciting things is we got the Stagecoach back.
Wonderful.
So in 1952, Newton Bass bought the Stagecoach from a movie company that had just finished filming up here. Mm. So it's not a gigantic full-size Stagecoach. It's a little bit smaller. And some of you probably remember it sat in front of the inn for many years.
Yes.
During the Bass years, it took people from the airport, which was right across the highway at the time, over, checked them into the inn.
Very cool. And it
you know, went back and forth. But then when Roy Rogers took it over, the Stagecoach, the wheels weren't what they used to be, so they had it parked right on the median in front of the inn, and it was a big photo op.
Yeah.
Then when the inn closed as an inn, Ellsworth Sylvester signed it over to the Victor Valley Museum, which at that time was our local museum. Then, if you remember, the county took it over.
Yes.
And everything kind of disappeared.
Changed. Yes.
And we found out that it had been in storage for 15 years.
Marcy, so, I'm sorry, when did the Apple Valley Inn close?
Oh, I knew you were going to ask me that.
No.
Well, I'm not sure when it closed as an inn.
Okay.
I know it was still open in the 90s. But
I had no experience knowing that that was an inn where people, you know, like a hotel.
I know that
yeah,
was
exactly.
The big place to stay because, you know, the desert was the first place that they started filming movies back with the silent films. It was the closest place to Hollywood where you could come up the old Route 66 and have the right scenery. So people were staying at the old hotels down on 7th and D and C.
Mm-hmm.
And then when the inn opened, they could host the movie crews. And then when the airport went across the way, they could have the crew come up the old Route 66 and set up, but they could fly the actors and actresses in, and
yeah.
That made a very big difference.
Yeah.
And we still have many families, family members of movie stars, so to speak, around Apple Valley. Like, for example, Roy Rogers' sister Kathleen's grandson is our food vendor.
Ah, okay. So still that connection. So, Marcy, tell me, what are the hours of the museum for those who are interested in coming over and visiting and learning more about the tours and all that?
Okay, so we're open Monday through Saturday from 10 to 4 and Sunday 12 to 6. There might be a few exceptions where we're all involved in weekend events and we might have a sign that says Saturday 1 to 4, but for the most part, we keep our hours there. And if I may mention, our movie night is coming up, Movie Night on the Porch. We'll be showing Grand Theft Auto, which was made in 1977, and Ron Howard, it was his first movie. He wrote it, starred in it, directed it, and all the chase scenes are coming down Highway 18 and then up 7th Street in Victorville. So we only show movies that were made in Apple Valley, like Tarantula and that type of thing. And our next movie will go back in time after we get done with Ron Howard racing up and down the street. We're going to go back and show Stagecoach, which is actually filmed on the riverbed.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah. So okay. People,
and so is there a fee to come and see those movies?
Yes. It costs a whopping $3, and that includes refreshments and a raffle ticket.
Wow.
It's a cheap date.
Okay, so for our listeners who might be interested, is there a phone number, a website? How do they go about purchasing tickets and finding out?
Okay, well, you can just show up. It's July.
Okay.
It's Friday, July the 19th at 8:15. My phone number is 760-985-1918. Or what's easiest for us is if you just come by. You do not have to get tickets in advance, but we would like to know approximately how many people are coming so we can have enough seating and enough popcorn and cookies.
Oh, so Marcy, you know, the work that you've done here in the High Desert as a historian, and you are definitely a keeper of the legacy of Apple Valley. I know that you are a nonprofit organization. Is that right?
That is correct. Okay, we're under the High Desert Community Foundation.
Right. And so how can we as community help to ensure that this treasure that we have here continues on? I'm sure that donations are welcome and encouraged, and that people who are interested in learning more about how they can be a patron and support the museum, how would they go about that? Would they call you?
There are many different ways. Actually, if you come over, we have a lot of items for sale. We have a lot of vintage, one-of-a-kind items. We also have a lot of local history books. Some are on consignment from Mojave Historical Society. So purchasing anything would be helpful. Our rent does come due every month. Donations are greatly appreciated. And if you want to donate, you can donate through the High Desert Community Foundation. You go to their website. You go to projects. And we're like at the top because it starts with an A, Apple Valley Legacy Museum. Or you can just come by. We do have a little donation jar. And we do welcome volunteers to help us out at events. Or if you do a shift, it's okay to volunteer if you do know something about local history or you're very willing to learn.
Do you have guest speakers, Marcy, like meetings where local citizens can, like, listen to different, like, topics?
I'm also president of the Mojave Historical Society. We meet monthly at the Lone Wolf Colony. And this Thursday night, our topic is the influence of the military on the desert. Mm. And then Friday morning, we're going out to the bomb circles, the practice bomb rings from basically World War II. Oh. We're only going to the Apple Valley ones, but there's four more in Lucerne and a whole lot of them further out and up at Muroc because, as you know, the desert had nothing in it, so why not practice bombing?
Right. Oh, my God. That's what I'm saying. You are such a wealth of our history.
Mojave Historical Society is a separate organization, but we do sell their books out of there. And you can also come by there and pay a membership, renew a membership, find out about our field trips or whatever.
Yeah.
And for $20 membership, you would get all of our newsletters that tell you massive amounts of things every month.
Is there a certain age to be a part of the society?
No, you just have to be alive.
That could be an awesome like summer family like adventure, especially you're talking about some of the landmarks that we have from World War II. That's fascinating.
Yeah.
I like that stuff.
And again, let's give the contact information so if anybody missed any of or wants to get more information about anything they've heard, how they can reach out and contact you.
Okay, so my phone number is 760-985-1918 and the Apple Valley Legacy Museum is at 206-01 Highway 18, Cottage 153.
Well, Marcy, I want to say thank you. I want to say thank you for coming and sharing with us today and giving us some great ideas about some things that we can do over the summer. And I also want to say thank you on behalf of community for being a keeper of the history. You have been most dedicated. You know, that's kind of how I got to know you.
Hearing Herb Jeffries.
Yes, was being a keeper of our history, which is hugely important. And I know how serious and close to the heart that you hold all of this. So thank you. And I will just encourage our listeners, if you're looking for an entity to support, right, whether it's $5, $50, $500, $5,000, right, think about the Apple Valley Legacy Museum and or the Mojave Historical Society. Of helping them continue to be great keepers of our high desert history. So, Marcy, thank you for coming and sharing this time, and we will have you back to talk about Mojave Historical Society.
I can hardly wait. Thank you, Regina and Roxanne.
Thank you.
Well, again, good morning, high desert. It's another, should I say scorcher?
Scorcher. I hope everybody's staying cool and hydrated.
But it's summer here in the high desert. It is beautiful as we are approaching the 4th of July, which I'm sure everybody is getting ready for. And mm-hmm. so there'll be a lot of cookouts. And, you know, I hope that people will practice fire safety. And so that kind of leads us into our special guest today, mm-hmm. who, Roxanne, this is my first time having the opportunity to meet this young woman, but I'm really excited to welcome to our show Priscilla Reyes, who is the Fire Prevention Officer for San Bernardino County Fire District. She's been with the organization since 2008, although she looks like she just graduated high school.
I know. I love her uniform.
Right. But welcome to the show. We are so excited to have you here. I know that you're bringing a lot of valuable information that our listeners will be able to use. And so let's just kind of jump in. I want to ask if there's any summer tips, you know, because it's summertime, we're out, we're doing more of the cookout, people are camping, you know, that kind of thing. And so if you have any summer tips for just everyday life, and then we're going to move into talking about 4th of July, because that's a big one, right?
That's a big one, too. And then also, Priscilla, we did have some local fires here mm-hmm. the last few weeks, too.
Right, right.
Yeah.
So, again, welcome, and we're just excited to hear from you.
All right. Well, thank you for having me today. I did want to talk a little bit about the heat-related illness. And it can occur if you're exposed to high temperatures. Right now, as you know, we're, you know, hitting a high of in the hundreds. And yes. we just want to make sure everybody is taking the prevention tips. Mm-hmm. And that is to stay hydrated, wear appropriate clothing. You want to make sure that you use sunscreen and you want to limit your activities outdoors. And you just want to make sure that you are trying to use just cooling methods like fans, cooling towels if you're going to be outside. And then we just want to make sure that you are aware of just signs and symptoms of heat exhaustion as well.
Okay. And some of those are?
It's like heavy sweating, weakness, fatigue, dizziness.
Or like red in the face too, Priscilla?
Yeah.
Okay.
You could get muscle cramps, headaches, rapid heart.
Okay.
Heartbeat. And you just want to make sure if you are feeling those symptoms that, you know, you move right away to a cooler place.
Right.
You want to stay hydrated. You want to drink plenty of water. Anything with electrolytes. And you do want to stay away from caffeine and any type of alcohol.
Okay. Okay. Well, we want to do that. But that's really great, Priscilla, because those are the things we kind of want to look for in our kids, because you know how kids
And then especially not being, hydrated
enough,
too.
To make sure that they're hydrated, dressed appropriately, you know. And,
use your sunscreen.
Uh-huh. Yeah, and then our seniors.
Oh,
you know,
of course,
for seniors, you know, because if they start to, you know, say, like, I'm having a cramp or I'm feeling a little, that might be a sign. So we want to be mindful of those things. That's all.
Yeah.
Great information.
And you just want to make sure if anything worsens or symptoms don't improve, you feel like fainting, have confusion, your body temperature is getting higher,
mm-hmm.
You just want to make sure that you seek help. You want to call 911 at that point.
So don't wait.
If you're feeling, if it's not going away,
I do want to add something to that, Priscilla. We were talking about earlier cooling centers. Mm-hmm. Around our county, take advantage of the local library service, cooling centers. If you need to get to a cooling place, like our local mall, stay in there if you need to. So do take advantage of that, and we have more info on our Facebook pages too. So I'll add that again.
So that's great information for us, our health, and to particularly pay attention, especially to our little ones, and then to our senior citizens. Okay, so Priscilla, you know, like we're talking about for the summer, but with the 4th of July coming up and people will be having pool parties,
barbecues.
And all of that. And so are there just a couple of really important tips or things to stay top of mind when it comes to if you have a pool or you're going to go to the pool?
Water safety.
Yeah, mm-hmm. water safety and, you know, things to just kind of make sure it is a happy 4th of July.
Yeah, of course. Just always a reminder is supervision. I can't stress enough about the importance of having adult supervision at all times when children are near the pool.
Mm-hmm.
Swimming, you know, life jackets, you know, or floaties. If the children don't know how to swim.
Right.
You know, it's always important to have a life jacket on them or some type of floaties on their mm-hmm. arms. Mm-hmm. It's really beneficial to have someone that's CPR certified, right?
Ah, that's a good tip.
And, you know, mostly it's just the adult supervision, you know,
yeah.
just watching the children swim. I mean, in seconds, you know, a drowning can occur. So, you know, don't be on your phone.
Yeah.
Just always be vigilant. Watching.
Because you're right. It can happen so quickly. So just, you know, pay attention, right? Be mindful and put those safeguards into place, you know, because the kids, some of them are better swimmers than others.
Yeah.
Some can't.
Yeah.
So making sure you have the life vest and the floaties and those things and somebody who's going to be really responsible in watching them.
And especially at parties, for some reason, you know, a lot of times people think that everybody's kind of watching everybody and the kids. But, you know, when there's so many people in a pool, you know, it's hard to just, you know, to be watching everybody at one time. So it's just always important that there's someone that's always watching the kids in the pool or even adults. Have a buddy system. If you are going to go swimming, make sure you have somebody with you. And, you know, drinking and swimming are not a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
So I know with the 4th of July celebration, you just want to be mindful.
Well, yeah, of course. And I think those are all really great tips. And so as we are talking about that, the 4th of July is right upon us. And I know everybody will be getting ready to celebrate that in one way or another. And so what type of things do we need to be aware of? Particularly, can you talk to us a little bit about fireworks?
Sure. For the high desert, there is some areas that do allow safe and sane fireworks, and those are approved by the state fire marshal.
Mm-hmm.
So you can find those at your fireworks booth if you do have one at your city. So Adelanto, Barstow, and Needles, they are the ones that allow the safe and sane fireworks.
Okay.
So, you know, just remember that anything else is considered illegal, and there will be a citation if you're caught. You will be fined.
Okay.
And your department is very serious about those fines.
Oh, of course,
Okay.
You know, just remember, if any firework explodes, leaves the ground, or moves uncontrollably, is illegal in California, so including bottle rockets, Roman candles, and firecrackers. The first offense is $1,250. So if you are caught, that you could be fined that amount.
So don't do it.
Yeah, of course. I mean, with you know, it is really hot, really dry right now.
Yes.
So any kind of spark could ignite something, and we just want to make sure that we are safe during the celebration, right?
Yeah, and if somebody wants to report, let's say, like, I don't have this because I don't have these type of neighbors, but if somebody has neighbors who they're, you know, shooting off fireworks, and we know that it's an area where fireworks are not allowed, how can they report? Should they? Who should they call?
And they shouldn't call 911, right, Priscilla?
No, they shouldn't. We do. They can visit our website at sbcfire.org.
Okay.
We do have an illegal fireworks reporter app. And on that app, it's strictly anonymous. You don't have to put your name or anything like
that.
I mean, it's optional if you want to put a phone number to give us more information. But on that app, you're able to put the address of where you saw the illegal fireworks. And if you don't know the address, you can leave a description, you know, at this cross street or a nearby address. But yes, it is being monitored, so we do want to welcome anyone that, if they do want to report any type of illegal firework activity, to that app on our website.
Okay, and that's going to be the best way to report and not to call 911 because we don't want to bog them down with having to take those kinds of reports.
Unless it's some sort of fire that's coming from the
firework. If it's
an emergency,
you call 911.
But if not, use the app.
Use the app.
And also, too, let the professionals handle it. We've had many community events happening for the 4th of July this whole weekend coming up, and we'll tell you more. But, yeah, let the professionals handle that. We've
absolutely.
Got great shows around.
Yes, absolutely. And so is there any other information you want to share with us or think that our listeners may be interested in knowing in preparation for the 4th of July?
Yeah, Well, not necessarily just for the 4th of July, but being that we were talking about the heat, mm-hmm. We do have a no burn right now. So if you do want
a restriction.
Yeah, a restriction right now. So just a reminder, it is no burn. And
okay.
You could always visit our website for any additional information about burning. We do require a burn permit once that is lifted and you do want to burn. But all that information is going to be on our website.
And your website is, once again?
SBCfire.org.
Okay. Well, we want to thank you for coming out today to share with us this wealth of information to make sure that we are appropriately and adequately prepared for, you know, the heat and 4th of July.
Yeah, we wanted to make a safe, you know, safe
yeah,
summer season
and,
for everybody.
So that people can mm-hmm. enjoy, but enjoy safely, right? And so thank you, and thank you for your service and all that you do to make sure that that information is available to us as community and the work that you do to make sure that we are safe. So we want to thank you.
Mm-hmm. Thank you for
and
having me.
And please tell Chief Muncy that we say thank you for the amazing work that your organization does under his leadership.
All right. Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Hope everyone's enjoying this edition of High Desert Dialogue. Time to take a look at our community calendar and see all the events happening in the High Desert for 4th of July. Some of these events will take place a little bit early, but some will take place exactly on July 4th. Let's get started. In Lucerne Valley, the Lucerne Valley Fireworks Committee will present their fireworks celebration from 5 to 9 p.m. on Saturday, June 29th at Pioneer Park. In Newberry Springs, the Newberry Springs CSD and Chamber of Commerce will host a Wednesday, 3rd of July celebration from 4 to 9:30 p.m. at Community Park at 30884 Newberry Road. The Town of Apple Valley will host its 26th annual 4th of July Freedom Festival from 2 to 9 p.m. on Thursday, July 4th at the Lenny Brewster Sports Center, with their fireworks show beginning at 9 p.m. The City of Barstow will host its 27th annual fireworks event on July 4th at the Robert A. Sessions Memorial Sports Park. The day begins at 7 a.m. with a free 4K freedom run at the sports park, with their fireworks show beginning at 9 p.m. The Arrowhead Lake Association's fireworks spectacular over the lake begins at 9 p.m. on Friday, July 5th. There'll also be a vintage plane flyover at 11:30 a.m. and 5:30 p.m. Silver Lakes Association will host their Independence Day celebration from 11 a.m. to 10 p.m. on July the 6th at North Beach. And the fireworks show begins at dusk. The City of Victorville will host their event, their annual fireworks spectacular, on July 4th at the San Bernardino County Fairgrounds, with their gates opening at 4 p.m. Fireworks show starts at 9 p.m. The free 4th of July fireworks event over Big Bear Lake happens on July the 4th, fireworks show beginning between 8:45 and 9:15 p.m. And in Crestline, hosted by the Crestline Chamber of Commerce, their free community picnic is scheduled from noon to 5 p.m. on Sunday, June 30th at San Moritz Meadow in Crestline. The festivities continue all through the weekend on July the 6th with their Jamboree Parade and the Lake Gregory Company-sponsored fireworks show beginning over the lake at 9 p.m. These are some great events happening all across the High Desert. Hope you have fun, enjoy the holiday, and stay safe. Thanks again for being a part of our conversation. You can reach out to us and let us know what you want to talk about. Send us an email at RoxanneScafidi@edbroadcasters.com. High Desert Dialogue, Conversations with Regina and Roxanne, has been brought to you by Provident St. Mary Medical Center. COVID-19 cases are rising in our High Desert. Make your appointment today to protect yourself, your family, and our community. Schedule your free appointment at a convenient location near you through myturn.ca.gov. Message brought to you by trusted friends in the High Desert, Provident St. Mary Medical Center, and the San Bernardino County Department of Public Health. We'll talk to you next weekend.